to the Lord who increases the happiness in the hearts of his devotees. O Lord, please glance mercifully on all living entities. All glories to the crest jewel of teachers and the king of brahmanas. All glories to the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Navadvip was full of millions of learned scholars, each of whom had mastered various scriptures. But the Acharyas, Chakravartis, Misras, and Acharyas had no occupation other than teaching. These scholars were all independent and so victorious in debating scriptures that they disregarded persons as insignificant who were as learned as Lord Brahma. Yet the Lord constantly rebuked these scholars who had to directly or indirectly hear those taunts. Nevertheless, not one of them was able to counter the Lord's challenges. They were so frightened on seeing the Lord that they would become fearful and would humbly try to avoid him, for they knew that the Lord could not be defeated in argument. Nevertheless, the Lord's illusory energy disallowed anyone from recognizing his actual identity. For no one can recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead unless and until he reveals himself. In this way, Gaurachandra bewildered everyone as he enjoyed his scholastic pastimes in Navadvip. In the meantime, a proud champion of learning arrived in Navadvip. He was a staunch devotee of the goddess Saraswati. And by chanting a powerful mantra to the goddess, he had won her favor. And due to the Brahmin's great fortune, she appeared before him. And the goddess Saraswati blessed him with learning. And thus, he was able to conquer the three worlds by his scholarship. All the scriptures resided on the tip of his tongue. Many of the scholars whom he challenged were unable to even understand his questions. And no scholar in the entire world could defeat him. Thus, wherever he traveled, he conquered all others with his scholarship. This conquering pandit, whose name was Keshava Kashmiri, heard about the glories of Navadvip, where an endless amount of learned scholars resided, and thus after conquering all other provinces, he arrived in Navadvip, along with an opulent entourage, which included horses and elephants and palanquins. As a result, a loud commotion arose in every house and every assembly of learned scholars in Nadia. People everywhere were heard saying, "A champion scholar has come to Navadvip with a certificate of victory from scholars throughout the country." When the Navadvip scholars heard that he was favored by Saraswati, they began to worry. Of all places of learning throughout Jambadvip, Navadvip surpasses them all. If this Digvijaya is victorious here, then scholars all over the world will condemn us. But how can any of us debate one who has received the blessings of Saraswati? Since Saraswati herself resides on his tongue, how can a mere human debate with him? Hearing the fears of the pandits in Navadvip, the students of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu They inform their teacher, Adigvijay, who conquers all the directions of the world with his scholarship, and who has been blessed by the goddess Saraswati. He has appeared here in Nabadweep, and he's carrying unlimited certificates of victory signed by scholars throughout the country. He has arrived in Nabadweep, surrounded by elephants, horses, palanquins, and many, many followers. His purpose in coming to Nabadweep is to seek an opponent, and defeat him. Otherwise, he would demand a certificate of victory from all the local scholars in this city. Hearing the words of his students, the jewel-like Gauranga smiled, and he began to describe the nature of the Supreme Lord. He said, "Listen, dear brothers. The Supreme Lord never tolerates false pride. Whenever the Lord sees someone proud of some personal quality, he certainly removes the cause of that pride. The nature of both the tree laden with fruit and the man decorated with good qualities is that they bow low with humility. You must have heard of the great conquerors of the past like Haihai, Nahush, Vena, Bana, Naraka, and Ravana. Try to think. Who amongst them was left with their pride intact? The Supreme Lord is intolerant of anyone's pride. You will therefore see this Digvijay's scholastic pride vanquished here in Nabadweep." After saying these words, Nimai Pandit smiled gently. That evening, Nimai Pandit, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, took his students to the bank of the Ganga, and after sprinkling some Ganges water on his head and offering obeisances, Lord Gauranga sat down with his students on the riverbank. And the students surrounded him in their various groups. Thus the Lord jubilantly began engaging in discussing Varnashrama Dharma and scriptural topics on the bank of the Ganga. Though he did not say anything, he thought, "How shall I defeat this Digvijay? This Brahmana has become most proud because he thinks there is no one in the world to oppose him. But if I defeat him in an assembly, it would be equal to death for him. Everyone would belittle him, plunder his belongings, and he would die in lamentation. Therefore, I will defeat him in a private place, so that his pride will be destroyed, but he won't be hurt." As the Lord thought in this way, night fell, and the Digvijay arrived at that spot at the Ganga bank. The full moon was clear, and the Ganges looked most enchanting. As the Lord sat with his students, his attractive form was unmatched throughout innumerable universes. A smile decorated his moon-like face, and his beautiful eyes showered glances of mercy. His teeth defeated the luster of a string of pearls, and his reddish lips resembled the color of the rising sun. He was full of compassion, and all the limbs of his body were delicate. His head was adorned with beautiful curly black hair, and his dress was divine. His neck resembled that of a lion, and his shoulders were like that of an elephant. His body was very large, and his attractive chest was adorned by Lord Ananta in the form of a Brahmin thread. An enchanting mark of tilak decorated his forehead, and his beautiful arms reached down to his knees. The Lord wore his cloth like a sannyasi, and he sat with his right foot on his left thigh. The Lord began explaining the scriptures. He established correct statements as incorrect and incorrect statements as correct. And in this way he displayed his incomparable genius. And all of his students sat around him in groups. And seeing this wonderful scene in the Ganga bank by the moonlight, Digvijay was astonished. And he wondered, could this be Nimai Pandit? He remained unrecognized as he gazed steadily on the Lord's beautiful form. He then asked the student, who is that Pandit boy? What is his name? The student replied, he is the famous Nimai Pandit. That best of brahmanas then offered his obeisances to the Ganges and entered the Lord's assembly. And seeing him, the Lord slightly smiled and respectfully offered him a seat. Although the Digvijay was very brave by nature and a champion of learning, he nevertheless felt fear upon seeing the Lord. For one of the Supreme Lord's natural characteristics is that the very sight of him produces fear. And after exchanging a few words of introduction, the Lord began to inquire, saying, there is no limit to your poetic ability. Nothing escapes your ability to describe it. I request you to please recite some of the glories of the Ganga. For by hearing such glories, everyone's sins are destroyed. And hearing the Lord's request, the Digvijay immediately began to describe the glories of the Ganges River. Who can fathom the countless verses that the Brahmana so quickly recited? The Digvijay's recitation was like the deep rumbling of clouds. Since Saraswati herself personally resided on his tongue, whatever he spoke was accurate. No human could refute his speech. Practically speaking, no competing scholar could even understand him. The Lord's thousands of students all became speechless on hearing these descriptions. Ram, Ram, how wonderful, they marveled. Can an ordinary human being speak like this? All the wonderful combinations of words and meaningful literary ornaments decorated each verse of the Digvijay's poetry. He nevertheless continually recited in this amazing way for 3 hours without coming to an end. When Digvijay finally finished his recitation, Sri Gaurasunda smiled and spoke. O Pandit, your words are so exalted that no one can explain their depths unless you yourself explain their meanings. Therefore, please explain a portion of your recitation, for whatever meaning is explained by you must be accepted. And hearing the Lord's enchanting words, that best of the brahmanas began to speak. But as soon as he began to explain a verse, The Lord immediately pointed out faults in its beginning, middle, and end. The Lord said, according to the scriptures, all the words and literary ornaments that you have used are far from correct. But please let us know the meaning that you intended to express. Digvijay, that great son of Saraswati, was unable to properly explain, for his intelligence had left him. And whatever weak attempts he made to defend himself were refuted by the Lord, by Lord Gaurasunda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It appeared that the Digvijaya's intelligence had taken leave of him, for the conquering pundit was left without even knowing what he himself was saying. The Lord then said, all right, let us leave that verse, and I request you to please recite another. But the Digvijaya was unable to recite like he was just a few moments before. The Lord's students were on the verge of laughing, but the Lord, however, forbade them from doing so. He then sweetly spoke to the Brahmin, please go home for today. Tomorrow we can discuss some more. You must be tired after your long recitation, and it's getting late. Please go take some rest. The Lord's behavior was so gentle that whoever was defeated by him felt no distress. The Lord continued, let us go home today. Then, after looking at your books, come tomorrow and answer my questions.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna,
I'm
Even after defeating someone, the Lord did not insult them. And thus everyone, even after being defeated, was pleased with him and remained affectionate. Such were the nature of the Lord's pastors. The Lord returned home with his students, and the Digvijaya was left to experience great shame. In distress, that Brahmin thought, "I've been personally blessed by Saraswati. Till now I've not met a single person, whether a scholar of logic, Sankhya, Patanjali, Mimamsa, Vaisheshika, or Vedanta, who could even compete with me. What to speak of defeating me? I've met scholars who were expert in the six branches of philosophy, who even feared entering into a debate with me. Yet this Brahmin is merely a boy, a teacher of children's grammar, and he has defeated me. This is certainly an act of providence. Since I have been defeated by this young Brahmin grammarian, it is clear that my worshipable goddess Saraswati Devi's benediction has proved a failure. The goddess whom I had pleased, and from whom I had thus received the benediction for becoming a Digvijaya, a conqueror, a conquering pundit, she must be displeased with me. I must have committed an offense to her. Otherwise, how could my great learning be defeated by an ordinary young grammarian? I must find out the cause of my defeat. As the Digvijaya was thinking in this way, he began to chant his mantra to Saraswati. And gradually, after chanting for some time, that distressed Brahmana fell asleep. And in a short time, Saraswati appeared before him in a dream. Goddess Saraswati glanced mercifully on that fortunate Brahmana and confidentially spoke. O best of the Brahmins, listen as I disclose to you the secrets of the Vedas. But if you disclose to anyone this most confidential topic that I will now reveal to you regarding the Lord's covered incarnation, your death is certain. I am an eternal maidservant at his lotus feet, and I'm embarrassed to appear before him. Know for certain that he who defeated you is the Lord of innumerable universes. O Brahman, although I usually speak through your tongue, in front of him I have no power. What to speak of me, even Lord Ananta Seshu explains the Vedas with thousands of mouths and was worshipped by Brahma and Shiva, also becomes bewildered in his presence. That person who you considered a young grammarian is actually the Supreme Brahman, the eternal, pure, complete, and inexhaustible Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart. Fruit of activities, mental speculation, material knowledge, pious, impious activities, direct, indirect perception, and more than I am able to say, all of these are created and destroyed by that Lord you just met in the form of a Brahman. Listen, dear Brahman. All incarnations, Matsya, Korma, are none different from him. In the form of Lord Varaha, he rescued the earth. And his Nisringa, he protected Prahlad. As Vamanadeva, he was the life and soul of Bali. The Ganga appeared from his lotus feet. He appeared at Ayodhya and killed Ravan. He is known both as the son of Vasudeva Nanda, and now he has appeared as the son of a Brahmana to enjoy his pastimes of scholarship. No one has the power to know him unless the Lord reveals himself. Your title Digvijaya is not the real fruit of your chanting mantras to worship me, for your actual great fortune is that you have now directly seen the Lord of innumerable universes. Therefore, O Brahman, immediately go and surrender to his lotus feet. Don't ignore any words. Don't ignore my words, considering this only a dream. I'm controlled by your chanting and have therefore informed you of that which is unknown even to the Vedas. And after speaking these words, Saraswati disappeared, and that most fortunate Brahmin, the Digvijaya, Keshava Kashmiri, woke up from his sleep. Immediately, after awakening, he went early in the morning to the Lord's residence. He offered his obeisances to the Lord, who picked up the Brahmin and embraced him. The Lord said, O Brahmin, why have you come here so early? What is the reason for this behavior? The Brahmin replied, it is all due to your merciful glance. The Lord said, you are the champion of learning. Why are you treating me like this? The Digvijaya replied, please listen, O King of Brahmins. By worshipping you, all of one's activities become successful. You are the Supreme Lord. You are Lord Narayan. but you have appeared in Kali Yuga in the form of a Brahmin. Who has the power to recognize you? Doubts arose in my mind when you asked me questions that I was unable to answer. O Lord, all the Vedas confirm that you are devoid of pride. Although you defeated me 3 times, you left me with my prestige. No one other than the Supreme Lord can act as you have acted. You are certainly He. You are Lord Narayan. I met with innumerable scholars wherever I have gone. Gouda, Kashi, Gujarat, Vijayanagara, Kanchipur, Bengal, Andhra, Orissa. What to speak of refuting my statements? No scholar could even understand my words. Yet despite my unlimited scholarship, you have easily defeated me. This is not an astonishing achievement for you, for you are the Lord of Saraswati. She personally told me this. I came to Navadvipa at a most auspicious time. Although I was drowning in the dark well of material life, I somehow saw you. Bewildered by inescience and material desires, I cheated myself as I wandered throughout the world, for I was forgetful of my eternal constitutional position. I am your servant. I met you by some great fortune. Now please, I beg you to deliver me by your merciful glance. It is your nature to engage in the welfare of others. Indeed, there is no shelter or source of compassion other than you. O Lord, please instruct me in such a way that I may have no material desires in my heart. Hearing the Brahmin's submissive words, Sri Gosunda smiled and replied, O best of the Brahmins, please listen. You are most fortunate, for Saraswati herself resides on your tongue. Conquering the world is not the proper use for knowledge, for the proper use of knowledge is in the Supreme Lord's worship. When one gives up his body, he will neither take with him his wealth nor his reputation. Devotees therefore renounce material endeavors and serve the Supreme Lord with firm determination. Therefore, O Brahmana, give up all materialistic association and immediately begin to worship the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Until the time of your death, serve Krishna with confidence. Know without doubt that the goal of knowledge is to fix one's mind firmly on the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. For devotional service to the Supreme Lord is the only substantial gain throughout all the worlds. After saying this, the Lord embraced the Brahmin. And after being embraced by the Lord of Vaikuntha, that Brahmin was freed from all material bondage. What Saraswati told you in confidence should not be disclosed to anyone. For disclosing confidential topics lessens one's life and checks his next life's advancement. After receiving instructions from the Lord, that best of Brahmins offered him repeated obeisances before departing in great satisfaction. Renunciation, knowledge, and devotional service immediately manifested within his body. The Digvijay, with his pride destroyed, became more humble than a blade of grass. He gave all his elephants, horses, palanquins, wealth, and whatever other assets he had in charity to suitable persons. But nevertheless, he continued his travels, But now, as a detached person, such are the pastimes of Sri Gaurachandra. The natural characteristics of his mercy are that a person renounces even the position of a king to take the position of a mendicant, a beggar. One finds happiness in kingly opulences only when he does not know the glorious happiness derived from devotional service. Leaving talks of happiness from kingly opulence far aside, the devotees of Krishna consider even the happiness derived from liberation as completely insignificant. Thus the Diglijai was delivered from material life. Soon, everyone in Navadvipa heard that Sri Gaurasunda defeated the Diglijai. They were astonished and said, "We have never heard of such a learned scholar as Nimai Pandit. His pride is fully justified." Someone else said, "If this Nimai studies logic, he will certainly become a Bhattacharya. Let us all together award him the title of Bhattasingha." Yet, even after glimpsing the Lord's power, people remained unable to recognize him due to his illusory energy. Yet, everyone in Navadvipa broadcasted the pure glories of the Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the residents of Navadvipa who had the fortune to observe all these pastimes. Whoever hears of Lord Gauranga's defeating the Diglijai will never be defeated anywhere. Whoever hears the enchanting scholastic pastimes of Lord Gauranga will certainly become his servant. Accepting Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu as my life and soul, I, Vrindavan Das, sing the glories of their lotus feet.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm gonna go to the hospital.